Okay, so we are hopefully gonna wind up chapter one before New Year's. If I have everything planned out, which if y'all know the old saying, if you want to make God laugh, just make a plan. But if everything pans out, Lord willing, I'll finish chapter one on December 27th, which is the last Wednesday before 2018. So now we're going to transfer over into verses 24 to 32. And they read like this: "Therefore God delivered them over in the desire of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served what has been created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. For this reason, God delivered them over to disgraceful passions. Their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The men in the same way also left natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of their error. And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so that they do what is not right. They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. Although they know God's just sentence that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but even applaud others who practice them." Okay, so in these verses, we see three mini sections. The first one being 26 to 24 and 25, the second one being 26 and 27, and the third being 28 through 32. You can tell each where the next mini section begins because in that verse it'll say God delivered them over, or God handed them over, God gave them over, whichever your translation uses. The word in my translation, translated delivered them over, in the King James, I believe it is gave them over. Gave them up. Gave them over, okay.
You got the King James or?
Gave them up, gave them over.
I want to say the King James says gave them up to their own desires.
The word.
The New King James is different than the King James on that one.
Right.
This one says.
Go for
gave them up.
Gave them up. The word there translated as deliver them over, gave them over, is paradidomi, which is a Greek word that can be translated as deliver them over, deliver, hand over, commit to, abandon, something like that.
Actually, I didn't mean the same thing, but
Yeah.
Just different.
Yeah.
Different ways of saying
well,
it.
Well, mean the same thing.
Paradidomi is the one word that was used
right
in the writing. It is the Greek original word. All we have are translations of it. So, you know, you're dealing with the translation that somebody was like, well, hey, I think this sounds closer to what he might have meant. But he's dealing with a different one, and I'm dealing with a different one, but it's all the same thing.
It all comes down to God just said, here you go. I'm done with you. And we'll get to why and how that works here in a minute. So why does God give humans over to their sin? Well, for one thing, that's what humans want before conversion. They want to be handed over to their sin because they enjoy it. Point in case, Adam and Eve. They said, hey, hey, the fruit looks really good. We're going to eat it instead of doing what God told us to do. And ever since then, it's been the same thing.
You know what's funny to me? And you may have something about this already, and I don't have it. But I have notes where I've looked at things and studied ahead. But What I find funny in all of this, especially when we get to this part of Romans 1, mm-hmm. is he's already dealt with this one time before.
Mm-hmm.
And he dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of a correlation here with Noah and the ark.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, you're looking at it here and you're saying it's the same kind of thought process here, except this time God, instead of flooding the earth and taking care of it himself and destroying everything, he just lets them destroy it themselves.
Yep.
Is exactly what he's doing. I mean, and that's what I find ironic. It's never again will I destroy the earth with flood.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the discussion of, well, no, he'll do it with fire. He'll do this. He'll do that. Really? Because Paul seems to be saying pretty much he's going to destroy it with his creation. They're going to destroy themselves. And we're pretty good examples of that.
You actually did find a point of mine. But it's okay. You're actually on the next point.
I mean, I wasn't trying to...
No, you're fine. I love it. You're fine. I like that.
I was just really looking at, like...
It works. Because, yeah, and when God... Again, humans want to say, all right, God, I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. I've read it. I don't care. I'm going to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. I want to do my own thing. That's why it takes God intervening and saying, no, you are literally going to do what I tell you to now. But before that, we'll get to that later. But going back to what Philip was saying, when God here saying that God has given them over, he's done that two ways. One, by withdrawing his restraining power just a little bit. Not totally, but a little bit. Extreme cases being Stalin, Hitler, people like that who have destroyed millions of lives, billions of lives. And other cases, as Philip was mentioning, like in Noah's flood, he just turned them loose and let them do whatever they jolly well desired. The only thing he stopped them from doing was literally obliterating the world. And then he did that himself. Today, same thing. The only thing that God is preventing right now is, I mean, he's preventing a lot. But the big thing he's preventing is he's not letting us destroy the world yet. I mean, we haven't had a nuclear war yet. We've come awful close. But
what's your definition of destruction?
I'm talking like global right now.
Right, but I'm just saying, like,
mm-hmm.
if you really think about it, though, we've destroyed it.
Yeah.
In some ways. I mean, we've destroyed the world we live in. I mean, it's not what it was 30 years ago.
This is very true.
So,
today God has turned people over to desires that are not at all biblical. And I'll get to those in a minute. I have some statistics in here I'm going to get to that's going to scare you, or at least I think it will. Another thing that he's done is, what's a good example? Some of the murderers that we see, he's allowed them to murder, but he stopped them from murdering more. Now, bear in mind what I'm saying here. He's allowing it. He's not forcing that. He doesn't have to force it. We're already keen to sin in some way, shape, or form. That's just the way humans are. So he's allowing them to do that. And then it's kind of at some point he says, okay, now you're done. I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, it's kind of a terrible analogy. Charlie, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. You probably do, but the movie The Purge. I mean, it's an awful movie in some ways, but the reality of it is that's kind of exactly, if you look at God as the government in the movie, not mm-hmm. for real, but where they lift every law that's possibly lifted at that point and allow it to take place in one night.
Yeah.
And then you turn man over to their own desires and let them do whatever they want to do for that night.
And look, yeah, and it's horrible.
Yeah, and in seemingly face no repercussions,
mm-hmm.
except for in life we do, and
right,
that's the wrath of God. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of a really good analogy for exactly what this is saying. I mean, you're lifting the ban of anything. You're just like, okay, you're not going to do what I tell you to do, then have at it.
Right. And the second way God hands them over is he directly hands them over to the punishment that follows the sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he intervenes directly himself. Noah's flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, the guy who got turned to stone for touching the ark. Who was it? Agrippa, who got eaten alive by worms when he didn't give God glory. Time and again, we see examples. And then sometimes it's delayed a little bit. You steal money, you later up wind up in jail. Things like that. Priscilla and Aquila. Yep, they denied... No, wait. Ananias and Sapphira is the one I'm
That's
thinking
the
of.
One I'm talking about. Priscilla and Aquila.
I was like,
great.
Yeah, they were awesome. Oops, my bad. Ananias and Sapphira.
There's too many names. Potato, potato, right?
Not really. No, sorry. It's okay.
It was
good.
Ananias and Sapphira because I started singing the song in my head after that. Ananias and Sapphira got together to conspire a plot.
Yep.
Cheat.
And then they tried to cheat God, and then he said, okay, well, congratulations, you're dead.
Well, and I mean, so, but if we talk about that one for a second, you know, it's funny because it's a really also a good example of life in general, because how many times have we seen somebody do something, know something happened to them, and then we still go back and do the same thing because of our own pride.
And we think it won't happen to us.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the and humans just are continually.
You have a chance to get this right, so here you go. And it's like, no, it's true. And it's like, no, it's not.
Right, and then humans have this thing, and I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody. They see someone else get punished for something, and then they figure, okay, well, this is how they got caught. So this is how I'm not going to get caught. Really, in the Marine Corps, we had a rule. Rule 1, don't do it. Rule 1A, don't get caught.
Rule 1B, if they get caught, see if you can fix it.
Exactly. No, that was 1C. 1B is cover it up.
Oh.
But, and so, 3 times we see God handed them over, which is the most, that's the most terrible thing, scary thing, really, that could ever be said, when God just turns loose, because as we see, everything falls apart. And what's scary is God is still still restraining people right now. Imagine what would happen if he totally let go.
I'm not 100% sure he is right now.
I can tell you, I can only say that he is.
Certain people, yes, but...
I can only say that he hasn't totally let go because we haven't killed each other yet.
I don't have that desire.
That's what I'm saying. He's holding it back. Okay, so now we get to the first two verses of this section, this first mini section, verses 24 and 25. Therefore God delivered them over in their desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served what has been created instead of their Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. Okay, the first verse that we see there, verse 24. Therefore God delivered them over to the desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, so their bodies were degraded among themselves. To quote Joe, the first thing we need to look at is, what is therefore? And here it's calling us back to everything Paul has said from verse 18 to this point. It's saying that God has revealed himself to humans, verses 19 and 20. Humans rejected that, verse 21. And then they rationalized their rejection, verse 22. And instead, they did create idols and substitute gods to feel justified in doing what they're going to do anyway, verse 23. So humans were given over to the desires of their hearts. And the funny thing is one of the things that we hear today, especially if you watch Disney, is follow your heart. How many times have we heard that?
Dream is a wish the heart makes.
Right. I've heard
when
so many people...
fast asleep.
Right. I've heard a lot of people say, no, don't listen to your head, listen to your heart.
It usually goes with YOLO.
Right. Follow your heart. Don't listen to your head. Your head is evil. Follow your heart. It'll always guide you in the right direction. Yeah. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart... And I love the way this the CSB does this. The heart is more deceitful than anything else. And incurable. Who can understand it? And that's given the emphasis to what the Hebrews give an emphasis to. The heart is exceedingly wicked. I mean, it's the thing that leads us to do, well, everything bad that we do.
Right. I mean, well, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of it is this is where we got into the conversation about Satanism.
Yep.
That I brought up. But, you know, reality, we're doing what God did with us in some ways, but not on a spiritual level. Hmm. Because Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image.
Mm-hmm.
And we were created in the image of God. And what we have then done is then created in God, or, well...
We reversed the order, yeah.
We've reversed the order. We've because we think we're created in the image of God, we have created God in our image.
Yep.
And our image is sinful and deceitful because we've given in to the lust of the flesh and the trials of the earth and the struggles that we shouldn't. Therefore, we have to try to understand a God. We wanna say that God is this way or that way because it makes us feel better about who we are. And mm-hmm. since we're created in His image.
Yep.
So, I mean, in reality, we're not worshiping the God of creation. We're worshiping a created God.
Exactly.
I mean, even if we think we're worshiping God, this is why you have the statement that Jesus made is that, or what is it? Straight is the gate, narrow is the gate, straight is the way.
For few there be that find it.
And, you know, it's just, there will be many that try to enter.
Mm-hmm.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yep.
And I'm the only way, the truth, and the life, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. I was asked, I had to do a film reflection in school this past semester. It was about a video talk, and it was talking about Muslims and all that. And one of the questions was, what can we learn from our Muslim friends and whatnot? I honestly said nothing spiritually, because there Jesus said, I am the way, not one of the ways. Same thing with Hinduism and all that other stuff. Okay, the second part of verse 24. Disclaimer. Philip, I'm going to leave this to you if you want to leave this point still in this recording, because this made my skin crawl when I studied this. Huh?
Moral uncleanness?
Nope. Paul here specifically mentions that that God delivered them over to the desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves.
Which,
this is CSB.
Right, because the translation I've got it, the lust of their hearts.
Same idea.
I know where you're going with that,
because
I have it right here. But I mean, could it be that Paul's actually speaking in a broader term than just one general?
That's
my question.
The only reason I'm going to say that he specifically points this out is because of what he says on down the line.
And I agree with that. That I actually have it down. But I kind of look more at more of a moral uncleanness, the lust of their hearts. If you go back to, let's see, I reference Mark 7 here. I'll read you what I reference. But I got to remember the order of the Gospels. This is kind of what I was thinking back to on it.
Mm-hmm.
And this might help answer something that you're wondering also. I don't know. But Mark 7.
Okay.
21.
Yep.
You got it?
Yep.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man.
Yep.
And those are the words of Jesus. So, like, the reason I reference kind of back to that is the fact that I see it more of a broad spectrum of what he's saying here as far as the the lust of their hearts. I mean, that's any, that could be any desire that we have that is not of the Lord, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I mean, I also see where you're going with that.
Well, speaking broadly,
it is one of them.
It is definitely one of them. And yes, yeah, speaking broadly, very well could be many of them. Well, all, yeah.
I think he's speaking in broad terms, and then as he goes on, is when he breaks into the, all right, now let's get specific about what those broad things are.
Possible. Going off what I have, though.
Well, I mean, go off what you have. That's
right.
Fine.
That's just, and that's a very good point.
I just happen to have that actually right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit.
No, you're fine.
I'm going to quit breaking into your stuff.
No, you're fine. You're fine. That's perfectly fine. Because you're right. It very well could be because and your other English translations do make it more broad. And that's fine. That's right. Not wrong.
But, I mean, I do realize that some translations have broken it into that exact.
And, yeah. This is where we get into those statistics that I was talking about that... It made me nervous.
Right.
Today, sexual immorality is probably one of the most public sins, with pornography on the rise as well, and the addiction to it. And this is where, and I had to be very careful what I typed in my search engine pulling up these stats.
Oh, yeah.
The Huffington Post did a poll in 2014. On pornography. 50% of religious men and 20% of religious women said that they were addicted to pornography. 8 in 10 men ages 18 to 30 view pornography monthly. 2 out of 3 men between the ages of 31 and 49 view it monthly, and half of the men over the age of 50 or between 50 and 68 view it monthly. Now, here's something that made me sick. Christian men are watching pornography at work at the same rate as the national average. Now, that's the 2014 numbers. Here's something about one website. One website on their numbers of 2016. In 2016 alone, this site got 23 billion visits. That's 729 people a second. And 64 million a day. This one website, there was enough porn that was watched in 2016 that if all the data was put onto USB sticks, it would fill 194 million of them.
What size?
It doesn't specify.
Oh.
But it says if you put all these sticks end to end, they would wrap around the moon. Last year alone, oh, Lord. 91,980,225,000 videos were watched on this one site. That's 12.5 videos every person on the planet, is what it averages out to. Also, 4,599,000,000 hours of porn were watched on this site, which is the same thing as 5,246 centuries. And here's the thing. You don't have to answer this question out loud, but I just want you to think what was probably the most popular term that was hit into the search engine of this website. The most popular search term for the entire website was stepmom. For the second year in a row, incest theme porn. My, what a world we live in. Which leads me to the final part of verse 24. Their bodies were degraded among themselves. Here's another stat where some of this sexual impurity leads to. There's an estimated 65 million Americans that are currently living with an STD. That's 1 out of 5 people in America. There are 19 million new STDs reported every year. New cases of an STD. On average, one in four Americans will get an STD at some point in their lifetime. Their bodies were degraded among themselves. And that's just America. Africa, it's a lot worse. 1 Corinthians, despite what the Bible clearly says, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. And this is just one of several verses that talks about how wrong sexual immorality is. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5, Hebrews 13:4, Matthew 5:28, Ephesians 5:5, Colossians 3:5, Galatians 5:19, Mark 7:20-23, as Philip read for us, Jude 1:7, Exodus 20:14, you know, the thou shalt not commit adultery commandment, Acts 15:20, the list goes on and on and on. And yet, here we are, with all those numbers that I just read. And keep in mind, those numbers I gave for that one website was literally just one website. I have no idea how many there are. I don't want to know. And it's getting worse.
And it will
continue to get worse. And here's why. Verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served that what has been created instead of their Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. Philip's already alluded to this by saying that God created us in His image, so now we're trying to create God in our image. And I got on a little rant about Scripture last week. I'll do it again this week. Because, again, we have people that's taking God's truth, the truth, and replacing it for a truth. The moral relativism, take out what God says because it isn't relevant to me anymore, is what some people will do. My truth isn't Philip's truth. Philip's truth isn't John Doe's truth on down the line. And that can apply to some things, but it doesn't apply here. God's truth is the truth for a reason. Because it is the only truth that transcends time, space, and culture. No matter what culture it is, despite what people will say, it drives me insane. Cultural relevance. It's all relevant. It's all relevant. Just because you don't like what something says doesn't mean you can explain it away. You don't get that privilege. I mean, it's very clear of what's right and wrong. And people who try to say that we don't have to pay attention to it make my skin crawl, because that's where we get all this other stuff. That's where we get those numbers that I just read off to you. And that's just pornography. I couldn't even find the numbers on the effects of sexual immorality on abuse, molestation.
You don't need them.
I don't want them.
for where we're at today, I mean, just look at what's happened in the last, you know. I was actually having a conversation earlier today with someone, and the conversation kind of took a
turn
where we're at, where the news.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, it's funny. I said, I find it hilarious that you open up a news story on a news website.
Mm-hmm.
The first story is about such and such politician or such and such actor or such and such doing whatever it was that they did, mm-hmm, to be charged with sexual misconduct. The second story is about so-and-so having plastic surgery to make their body look this much better.
Yeah.
And I'm going, how are those two not related in some way? How are we glorifying? I mean, when Hugh Hefner died, you've got all of this about sexual misconduct.
Yep.
And then you've got this praising of Hugh Hefner for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, if we really want to get down to it, he was in some ways the reason,
mm-hmm,
that we're where we're at today with the first story.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, let's praise somebody for this lifestyle that they lived just because they did it with, you know, they did it in ways that I guess was wanted instead of not wanted. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But One of the reasons why I feel like the first part of this is broad terms is when we get to the third part where he gives them over to their vile passions. I feel like the vile passions are the sexual immorality and different things based on just the discussion that's there. But I mean, in speaking of the broader terms, just to go back for a moment.
Yeah.
Yes, sexual immorality does belong in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've dealt a lot lately with, you know, I stress eat. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and food tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
But in America, well, in Avery County, if we just use numbers in Avery County, 62% of adults are considered obese.
Mm.
That's within 17,000 person. So you're thinking 9,800.
Something like that.
Roughly. Or 9,300 or something like that of people who live in Avery County are considered obese by, I don't know whose standards, but still, you probably have another, probably 50 to 60% of that would be deathly obese.
Mm-hmm.
As in like turning themselves over to their own passions.
Yeah.
Of food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turning themselves over, dishonoring their bodies because they're not treating the temple with the respect that it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is the temple of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't overeat. You shouldn't anything in excess, according to Scripture.
Right.
You know, so that's why I kind of feel like that's where Paul's at first is you're doing these things. You're eating the things you shouldn't. You're doing, I mean, just if you think about what 65 or 70% of foods in America are completely processed to where they only have like maybe 1% of the actual nutritional value that was originally in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're putting into our bodies. We're not growing our own food, which is what we were supposed to do. We're eating what others can so that it lasts 28 years. That's not healthy for us. Yeah, and I got to, I mean, I've thought about that a lot lately because, you know, I deal with myself on it in that I eat when I'm stressed. And so I feel like we're doing ourselves an injustice to just say, well, Paul's only talking about this here. I think he's talking about every single thing that we do. I mean, the things that we turn ourselves over to, some would call them the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are mentioned in Scripture in some ways.
Yeah.
Gluttony is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, we overeat. We eat the wrong things. We gorge ourselves, but not necessarily just with food. We do that with mental food, spiritual food as well. No. We feed ourselves movies. We feed ourselves romance novels. We feed ourselves pornography websites. We feed ourselves all of these things and expect to get something good out
of it. Heck, anything anymore, you don't even need the websites. 50 Shades of Grey became a movie a few years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the culture that we're living in. We have made it an okay culture.
Yeah.
To the point where people are saying, well, I just don't understand why Christians get so hateful and I read the same Bible they do. And I'm like, you leave parts out. God was the one that was giving his wrath based on the sin. I mean,
anymore, we've turned self-esteem into a God.
Right. We've created a God that is not the God of the Bible.
Exactly. And in so doing, we've created an idol. And it's kind of, if you want to look at it this way, you can. The way Paul ends verse 25, it's borderline comical. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served what was created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever, Amen, or blessed forever, Amen. It's almost like Paul's been going down this road, and he's getting like so caught up in all the bad stuff. It's almost like he has to come up for air and say, "Praise, hey, God is praised forever." And, I mean, we have to do the same thing because in the midst of all this evil, we have to remember that there is still a God. He is still in control. He is still sovereign. And he will be praised forever. All these idols that we've created, all these idols that others have created, at the end of the day, they will die. Even the gods of the ancient Greeks and Romans, eventually people stopped worshiping them. but God will be praised forever. And that's one of the things Paul's doing here. The second thing that Paul is doing by talking about God being praised forever is he's emphasizing just how damning everything else he's mentioned is. How bad it really is, because God will be praised forever. So that means on Judgment Day, when people get judged to go to hell, they can't complain. They have nothing to say because they did exactly what they were told not to do. And unless God intervenes, that's everybody. Fortunately for us, God will intervene, but that's not. But Paul isn't there yet. So we'll get...
did intervene.
Well, he did. God did intervene.
Paul just hasn't told them about it yet.
Right. Paul hasn't got to that part yet.
Right.
God will intervene, but Paul will get to that chapter 3. And that is the first mini section. Two more to go, and we're right on schedule. Questions, comments, or concerns? Okay. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, and the proclamation about Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures according to the command of the eternal God to advance the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever. Amen.